Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We'll get back to a busy afternoon for the Baltimore Ravens in just a few minutes. Ravens have traded Adafe Owe, if you're just tuning in. But we need to talk some baseball because the Orioles, they're not busy. They're hanging out. There seems to be nothing going on. They got a manager search, allegedly. And the baseball playoffs are going on. It's a perfect time to bring on our friend, former O's exec, now part of MLB Network Radio. Also does some Mets coverage. It's Jim Duquette. And Jim, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So I'll start here. Is there anything that you may have heard that we don't hear? Anything in the industry, anything in the ether that the Orioles are talking to anyone manager-wise? Because we're a little surprised that they haven't at least interviewed anybody.
That we know of.
Yeah, that we know of.
That you know of, right. Yes. I have not heard much on that front at all, unfortunately. I mean, I think, of all the places that I thought would have a head start on the managerial search, it would be Baltimore, right? There's been no secret in this that they were, that they needed one. And, obviously they're going to consider Tony Mantolino too, but I have not, as of today, it's been very quiet. That doesn't mean they haven't, it might mean that they just have done a really good job of keeping it quiet to this point. But I have not heard any specific names of substance.
The part about the keeping it quiet, though, as you know, if these guys are employed by teams right now, you have to get their permission to speak to them, which means secretaries know, people in your, right, and these other teams, right, like the other guys on the staffs know, their agent knows that, hey, this guy's, Mike Elias right. wants to get an interview with you. Like, it's really, really hard. I mean, I've done this for a long time. It's really, really hard to run a completely clandestine coaching search.
No, totally, you're right on that. I think that, there is a definite process to it, though, in asking for permission. Now, these days, they have to give you, you have to give windows, right? So if they're going to give permission, let's say Craig Albanese is a hot name right now. He's the bench coach for the Cleveland Guardians. He's still employed by them. They're not in the postseason any longer, as we know. But, if you were to ask for permission on him to interview him, you'd have like a week window or a 2 week window. And then you have to make a decision, and sometimes they'll let you extend it. But you're better off in those type of situations going for guys that are currently, let's say, unemployed or available. Let's take Rocco Baldelli or a David Ross or even a Mark DeRosa. You don't have any windows there that you have any restrictions. So it could be something along those lines where it would be a lot harder to kind of hear because you didn't have to ask for permission for those guys.
Well, we had a real humdinger of a press conference here with Mike Elias a couple of weeks back, and he said, you and I asked you about this last time you were on because I knew what he was going to do. So we find out about the promotion. He says, well, I'm not worried about hiring a GM now, and it's not an immediate need, and maybe we'll do it, and maybe we won't, because, boy, we really got to focus on this manager thing. And I'm like, this guy's going to come out and say he can't walk and chew gum at the same time. And you've lived this life, and you're like, no, that's completely ridiculous, but here we are, brother.
I'm laughing because I remembered when I was watching the press conference myself, I was remembering our conversation.
Do I know these mooks?
Oh, my goodness. I will say, though, So here, you know, as we, I think we even talked about it at the time, you know, the person, like if you, the two things that stood out from that press conference, that was one of them. If you truly are looking for other people's opinions and, yeah. you know, and mean it and, you know, want them included in the process, then that would be your first hire. And, you know, like it's now, you know, the timing, let's just take the Nationals down the road, mm-hmm. right? They went out and hired. Now, it's a little different because they're bringing in a whole new crew here, but they hired the president of baseball operations first. And now he's going to do a search for both the GM and the manager. But the decision maker, you know, it, right now is already in-house. And if you're going to, you know, and I think that's also part of the problem of finding a candidate that would be interested in coming here to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. It's likely it's going to be, you know, an assistant somewhere that is, you know, going to get a promotion. But he's going to sit there and say, well, you know, how much say am I going to have?
I don't
here?
Have any jam.
I don't. Right. I'm not involved in your managerial search. Like, you know,
right.
I mean? So that's where it kind of we got to, you know, try to piece things together here and see if you believe what they're saying. And so that was a concern of mine, to be honest, was that you wouldn't, you know, go out and try to hire somebody to help you. Again, more opinions mm-hmm. are going to help you make better decisions.
And Jim, with all that being said and everything that we know about this organization and how it's run and how it's so analytically driven, just how attractive are the manager and GM openings in Baltimore?
Well, I do think, you know, it's not a stretch. I know they said they want to win, you know, next year. And, you know, it was just last year that they did win. So I think from outside, yeah, you have some questions, but you know, of the, let's say there's eight openings, the two places that I thought were most desirable, if it's done the right way, was Atlanta. You know, mm-hmm. they don't have anybody at the moment, but that was a place that could win right away. And they had down year, obviously didn't get to the postseason. And Baltimore, because, you know, again, if they're telling you what they've been saying out loud, which is you're going to spend money, you want to improve the team, you want to win again, they're close to winning too. And I'd say in the third best place might be the Giants, because, you know, Buster Posey wants to win mm-hmm. and needs to win right away. So those were the three as I ranked them. And you know, I'm not the only one in the industry that's done it that way, but you know, I've been watching what's going on here in Baltimore. I do have more concerns than others do just currently, the way they made decisions this past year.
Jim, just your opinion, do you think it's Manzolino's job?
I think it'll be hard to, and I'm not saying that they wouldn't, but I think he has the inside track for sure. I think, you know, on the job training, on the job, you know, evaluations, that helps a lot. You know, it's hard in this situation. I think you want somebody who understands the personnel. That really cuts off a lot of the legwork that you have to do, you know, in spring training mm-hmm. and understanding the personnel. That's a huge step that is in Tony's favor. Also think he's, you know, an intelligent guy, a good baseball guy who's been in this for a while. So I think that also helps. And he's built up a relationship with Mike Elias, which also is going to matter. You know, there are other guys, obviously, too, but like I'll give you, you know, like Nick Hundley is a hot name right now, right? He's a former Oriole. He was here in 2014. Mm-hmm. That would be a really good name. David Ross. I always liked guys who had prior experience. They cut their teeth in another organization. They might have won or they might have lost, but they got experience making the mistakes so that when they came to you as the second spot or the third spot, they didn't make the same mistakes, right? So Rocco Baldelli would be good because he's still young and would have, you know, and handles young players very well. So those would be some of the criteria that I would be using or I would be suggesting if I was, you know, a special assistant there.
Do you read any tea leaves or anything into the fact that, unlike a lot of these places that clearly are doing robust coaching searches, which means, hey, if we're getting a new manager and he's empowered, he's going to bring a lot of his own people. We haven't heard boo about this guy being let out of his contract or this guy. We've right. mutually agreed to part ways with this hitting coach or this pitching coach so that they may pursue other possibilities. Like I'm seeing that all over the league right. in the industry where they're actually doing things, but mm-hmm. none of that here.
Yeah. And that's another, I think, indicator that, you know, that Tony Mancelino might be the inside candidate there, right? Because they just went through this whole coaching staff change. I'll give you the latest, the Mets example is, they didn't win. They made all these changes. They kept Carlos Mendoza. It's almost the identical situation that Brandon Hyde was in a year ago.
Yeah.
Right, where they fired a lot of the coaches, they made changes, and then they got off to obviously a slow start, and Brandon got fired. I think Carlos is in the same situation. Conversely, very rarely do you, and what the Mets did is they had like two or three that they held on to, kind of assistants that were like, hey, you have our permission to go look around, and then you would be under consideration once the new, say the head pitching coach or the head hitting coach is hired, you would be considered for that role or an assistant role. That's usually what happens here. It's unusual, in the moment to have the coaches still on board and you're still trying to, figure out if you're doing a robust manager.
Allegedly. Search. Yeah. Allegedly looking for a new skipper.
Jim, are you enjoying the playoffs before we let you go?
Yeah, I want as many extra games in each divisional series as we can get. So the fact that we have 3-2-0s, I don't care for that. But I think they've been really, really entertaining, obviously. And the wild cards were really good. But yeah, I've been enjoying it, and I'm heading out to do the ALCS. Whoever ends up winning that, I'll be covering that and doing the World Series. So like I've been doing for the last few years. So I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, I've enjoyed them. And, keep them going. I don't like those off days in between.
No, you're the best, Hammer. Thank you, as always,
for your time,
Jim Duquette.
All right, thanks, guys. See you, bye.
Coming up next, it's been a busy day for the Ravens.
Nothing's normal in this town.
No,
we can't have anything normal.
It's weird. Ravens, they signed C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They just traded Adafe Owe. What do we think of all this, and what's that mean? Is there more coming? We update you next here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm a fan.
Well, we were really happy with this game this year. I think sometimes people get really caught up on the number of sacks that people get. We prefer to look at pressures and disruptions and the ability that they affect the game. And Odafe is probably one of the hardest working players we have on our defense. He's got a great motor, plays with a passion. He's an exciting young prospect. He has battled back for some injuries, and we think that this is going to be a great season for him. We're very, very excited about what he brings to the table this year as one of our primary edge rush guys.
Well, Adafe Owe doesn't have any sacks this year, and he signed a fifth-year option, and he has been traded to the LA Chargers. Alohi Gilman, a safety, and a 5 next year for Adafe Owe and a 7 the year after. Now, for what it's worth, Jeff Zerbeck, who covers the Ravens for The Athletic, said, I have to think DaCosta has something else up his sleeve with the cap savings from moving Owe. Pass rush has been a major issue this year, and while Owe has struggled, trading him leaves them with an edge rush group of Van Noy, Tavius Robinson, Mike Green, and Ajabo need more. So, Jason, you've been pointing out, though, they've known they had a pass rush issue for the whole summer.
They've had a pass rush issue since they didn't want to pay Judon, basically, to franchise him two more times to keep him. and they drafted Owe to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not good. This regime cannot identify pass rush in the draft, at the top of it, at the middle of it, at the bottom of it. They're not finding it walking on the street as street free agents, because you usually don't. And as much as they may appreciate it, they won't pay for it.
Now, they did find it off the street once. They found Van Noy and Clowney. They did find those guys off the street.
It's the value plays, though.
Yeah. I was talking about an undrafted guy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Guy,
okay.
Like a street free agent.
Okay.
Because God knows they're always going to make the team.
Yes.
And yeah, they found a little lightning in a bottle with Van Noy. Again, they waited till October to bring him in, and they lost a bunch of games and looked bad prior to that, which tends to affect your playoff seeding and where you end up and where you go. And I would just say, Kyle Van Noy is not a pass rusher. He's a jack-of-all-trades defender. He's less of a pass rusher than Judon was, and Judon was a jack-of-all-trades edge defender. But they never spent. Guys are not available in October who you're spending real money on.
And you're right if you wait. I do think it's fair to point out, though, the year they signed Van Noy in October, they ended up the one seed.
Okay.
So that it did. But you're right. You wait that long, it usually will screw you up.
And the Van Noy, he had 20 sacks in 2 years, or over 20 sacks. Mm-hmm. So you'll take that for the money.
Owe had 10 sacks in a year. What did they get for Owe?
A five.
If the league, now maybe they're smarter than everybody else. God knows they think they are. But if the league really thought Van Noy was a difference maker, why were they able to buy him cheap twice?
Yeah.
But it's also not adding to that. Where Van Noy has been their best pass rusher in the past two seasons in terms of sack production. And he shouldn't be that at this stage of his career when he's in his mid-30s.
Well, the whole thing with him had to be, like, they didn't learn anything from the Calais Campbell mistake.
No.
Calais played more than he should have from the giddy-up. You had Bobby DePaul saying in real time, this is ridiculous. How many snaps did Van Noy play week one? Because they got nothing else. They got nothing in the draft, because right now Mike Green is offering them nothing as a football player,
he's literally
let alone
green.
A pass rusher.
Yeah.
And they added nothing from the outside. So he played more than he should have in the first game of the year.
Well,
and he's 36 years old. What? He's going to break down. He was breaking down before you got him the first time, which is part of why you were able to get him for what you got him for when you got him the first time.
And that's where you can kind of circle back to the Owe of it all, where you go back to last year, the Eagles game and the Bills game. He didn't play at all. You can look in the past couple of weeks where Mike Green and Tavius Robinson have outsnapped him by a significant margin in all of these games. Since week three, Mike Green and Tavius Robinson have outsnapped him significantly.
Saying the writing was on the wall?
Well, I'm saying they're telling you what they think of Edafe Owe.
Yeah.
Where in
that's
these,
the old Bobby DePaul. They can don't listen to what they say. Listen to how much he plays.
Week three, Owe 28 snaps, Mike Green 52, Robinson 54. Like, it's like
Jason,
week.
You said it in real time when he put on the weight.
He's trying to stay on the team for early downs.
Yeah.
He's trying to get on the field. Because in the Eagles game and the Bills game, when they were both running the ball down the Ravens' throat, he's on the sidelines.
Again, he's got a 10-sack season to his credit.
Yes.
Everybody in the league needs pass rush, and they got to go to their boy Ortiz to get somebody to take this salary off their hands in exchange for a guy
yes.
who can play safety.
Yes.
Played at Notre Dame with Hamilton,
yes.
and it's fine.
Yes.
But
they like draft picks. They got a five.
Yeah, and they dumped the salary.
Yeah.
Like, it was a salary dump. So no one's looking at him as a quality defensive player, despite the fact that, yes, he ran into 10 sacks at a time when they had an amazing thing going. Mm. And they're also in real time. And some people are saying, oh, well, Matabike's season last year wasn't that great. No. He's a top five D tackle in the league. Like, and you had no protection for him because Pierce retired.
Yeah.
And you did nothing about it in a generational D-tackle draft. And, like, watch these guys if they ever have to play without Matabike. Well, you're seeing it. It's the worst sack rate in the NFL, and it's the third worst pressure rate in the NFL.
And what another thing we saw on Sunday was a lack of effort, which leads us to our next comic topic coming up next. And that is, you know, Bone in his TMI yesterday talked about the fact that John Harbaugh teams always fought. And even when it looked like they were going to be awful, they almost or did win games they weren't supposed to win. We did not see that on Sunday. So we asked the question, are these guys quitting? We'll answer next here on The Fan. Busy day for the Ravens. They added C.J. Gardner-Johnson earlier in the day, and let's just say he's kind of a fiery locker room guy, so that's going to be fun. And they've traded Odafe Oweh. And I mention these two things because, let's face it, one thing that looked lacking on Sunday, Jason, was effort in that football game. You get beat 44-10 at home by a team that has never won in Baltimore before, and Tim did a great job, Bone did a great job documenting yesterday all the times that John Harbaugh teams in the past almost won or did win games they had no business being in. That did not happen Sunday.
Yeah, there is reason to doubt whether they are connected to this coaching staff, whether this coaching staff knows how to press their buttons, whether they're being tuned out, whether they just haven't been prepared enough, especially the young players through the course of the offseason and training camp. There are core fundamental issues on all three units right now. And I don't think they're all fixable at once. And I don't think salary dumps and, you know, moving the headsets around and more Pagano than Zach Oren. I think we're kind of past the point of that. I think the die is cast on some of this. They're not going to be able to replace some of these players. They didn't fortify throughout the offseason nearly enough. And I think Harbaugh's going to be caught in a weird spot here because the walls seemingly are closing in on him more than anybody else, locally and nationally. And he wants to be loyal to his coaches, and there has to be a part of him. We talk about this team for 4 hours a day, 350 some days a year, or whatever, take weekends out, whatever it is, 300 days
a year. A few minutes of Orioles talk in there.
Like, they've got Jimmy's and Joe's, not just X's and O's problems. And so, like, is he going to call out that, like, is he going to say at some point, well, how many teams had three undrafted guys make their team and then they're all playing a month into the season? Like,
I
just want, but I mean, did we think he was going to go off on Todd Monken for 36 straight hours? So, like, I don't know what gets displaced onto what and how people sort of vent or when the blame game, if they lose this game, that bye week, how the blame game is going to be played covertly in the media, overtly. But I don't think he has the players in the trenches on either side of the ball to win. And I think he knows that. I don't know how he can't know that. I don't know how every coach in that building can't know that at this point. And don't you think the players know it? Like, even the pregnant pauses and the way Van Noy is tiptoeing around some of these issues. Like,
well, that was something.
It was feels telling. Like they all know that we're not who they build us as. We're not what they sold you. We don't know what we are, but we know we're not very good. Like, even the Derrick Henry clip we played earlier in the show, and he's like, you know, guys have to sort of look at who's playing well and who's not playing well. Nobody's playing well on their offensive line, and nobody's playing well on their defensive line.
Killed in the trenches.
How are you winning football games?
You can't.
And so is Harbaugh going to get them to play harder? Well, if they feel like it's over, they look like a team that since the fourth quarter in Buffalo has quite often played as if they knew they were going to get their ass kicked.
It does sort of feel like that, right? Where this team has just not recovered from that collapse. And it's really snowballed out of control now. And yeah, they got right against the Browns the next week. But these last three games, it's one thing to lose games, but it's how they're losing
it's
games
the how.
Where it's just... It's unrecognizable. You do not see a Ravens team give up over 220 yards on the ground like they did against the Lions. You don't see a Ravens team, and especially a John Harbaugh coach team, where the opposing team pulls their quarterback in back-to-back weeks in the fourth quarter because they're kicking your ass. That's what we... The opposing team doesn't punt ever with their starting quarterback in back-to-back weeks.
We've had three straight weeks of teams offensively looking like they're running seven... Like, we're out of training camp, and they're running seven-on-seven drills. That's what we've seen.
I'm with you in the... Clearly, the personnel was vastly overhyped, and yes, this last game, you were dealt with tremendous amount of injuries, but that's not professional grade, Sunday. That was not professional grade.
No, it should be beneath them. That's a level, like, they've fallen to a depth that should be beneath them. That should be unattainable because they do enough things right that the next man up is at least quasi serviceable enough that if we put 11 of them together in a quasi cogent scheme, we at least only lose 30-17 or 33-whatever. Like, there should be safety nets here because of their infrastructure. Because they are so smart and they are so accomplished and they've been doing this for so long. But there's clearly not. And none of us in this room think this is rock bottom yet.
Oh, they're going to lose
and
Sunday.
So, like, are they quitting? Well, what if there's just not much fight in them because of the roster that they are and where they are in their career and where Harbs is in his career and where the GM is in his career and where the owner is in his 10-year running the team. Like, what if it's just really bad timing all around and the people at the very tippy top of this organization have to start thinking about, what's my fight? How much of this do I have left in me? Do I have a coaching search in me? Do I have a GM search in me? Do I have a gut the thing at the deadline and give this guy who all he wants is draft picks, all the draft picks he can possibly have to try to turn it around quickly? Or are the football gods telling me now is the time to put this thing on the market?
It's an interesting school of thought, and we'll have a lot of time to talk about it tomorrow. We will come back, get the text of the day, preview tomorrow's show, and get you ready for Infinity Sports Radio at 6 here on The Fan. Eventful day for the Ravens, which a day off as they sign C.J. Gardner-Johnson and trade Adafe Oweh for another safety and a fifth-round pick. I'm curious what tomorrow will bring as they're back on the practice field getting ready for the Rams tomorrow.
How about the Rams? They're going to be here for a minute, huh?
Yeah, because they go to London, so they're going to just practice here instead of flying out west.
Practice at Camden Yards.
That's going to be interesting. That's and then what? There was a couple years ago where they were here for like 8 or 9 days when they came in for the practices, and then they had the game.
Oh, yeah. Preseason.
They like it here.
Yeah, didn't you meet up for a crab cake back then? Didn't that happen?
People.
Yeah. You knew some people back in the day there. Yeah. Same people, right?
Some.
Yeah.
Many. Some.
Well, by the way, Ben, let's get the text of the day.
Check 1, 2. Check. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day.
Okay.
Next today comes from Josh in Baltimore and says, couldn't we have moved on from Oweh for something more in the offseason coming off the year he had?
I guess. But as Jason told you, I think the market told you what they thought of him by virtue of the fact he was still here at the start of the season.
I wonder how much they were shopping him this offseason, though.
Once he didn't sign an extension, I'm sure they were open to listen. Like, they talked. We remember this offseason, there was a point in time where he put out those cryptic tweets. Yeah, yep. And we knew what those cryptic tweets were about. Yep. They were about the fact that they didn't offer him the money he wanted.
Yes.
At that point, I'm sure they told the market he's available and he's still here until today.
Or if you were going to do nothing to supplement your pass rush, and so money, you're gonna pinch pennies over there, then you could have just dumped the salary then and going and gotten something more, an actual pass rusher, because he's not a pass rusher. We know he's not a pass rusher. The market knows he's not a pass rusher because you couldn't get anything for him. So as a meh edge defender, you could have moved off of that salary and invested it somewhere else. Actual pass rush.
You can go to that, but also bringing in two safeties today, you could have brought in a third safety
that you felt more comfortable all spring and summer long.
Yeah,
we were talking about whether Chuck Clark was out there forever. Like, they could have. And he's not expensive.
There were multiple vets out there.
Yeah, C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Alohi Gilman, former sixth-round pick in 2020 out of Notre Dame. He was a team captain at Notre Dame, and I think Kyle Hamilton was a freshman. So that's former teammates.
Look, they keep repeating the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. And they have got the same blind spots, and they've got a lot of the same sort of stubbornness and arrogance that the Ravens, that the Orioles have. There are so many similar, and they're both going to hide behind injuries now. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, the similarities.
Man, I am very curious to see if they do something else before tomorrow.
They hang out together during the draft.
Yeah. Well, they're friends.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, maybe if you let DaCosta pick baseball players and Elias pick football players, the whole town would be better for it.
Hey. Mark Andrews catches a ball there back in the AFC title game a year ago. I don't know.
You don't know that he catches that ball and they win that game.
I'm saying if he doesn't fumble or have two drops, I think they win that game.
Well, guess what? If he's ever caught a touchdown in his whole playoff career, maybe they'd have won one. Yes. Have you ever done that?
He has not.
Oh.
I'm just talking about one game.
Maybe.
But I'm just saying.
Maybe that's why why they couldn't dump him for anything real all year either, because maybe the whole industry's looking at him as a guy who's nearing his last legs, who you might be buying a year too late, and who's still making decent money.
I'm still mad at the AFC Championship. We should have been in Vegas.
Yeah.
We would have seen Jason
on a plane. That would have been fun.
Everything happens for a reason.
Bone, what's on tomorrow's show?
I'm always going to be mad about
You're
that.
You're never going to see me on a plane, brother. I will make you that guarantee. Yeah.
Gordon McGinnis of Pro Football Focus will be joining us. Tim Murray, get our best bets with him. And our friend, Aditi Kinkawala, will be joining us as well.
That'll be fun.
Busy always, times in the AFC North.
Always fun talking to Aditi. Get her thoughts. Actually, the Joe Flacco trade.
Yeah.
Ravens stink. Are the Steelers a team to beat? A lot with Aditi.
So are we
Does
like...
Does she still hate George Pickens?
Yeah.
Is this going to be like hard now, figuring out all this baseball stuff?
Baseball.
Were we going to have any of the baseball on ours?
Oh, yeah. Like, we have any games.
Does that impact us?
No.
Playoff baseball?
They don't impact our time game. They'd be night games.
No, but we don't play any of them on the radio anymore?
Oh, that I don't know.
We're playing the Yankees game.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Tonight?
Yeah.
So we have pregame coverage starting at
7:30.
There it is. Yankees and Blue Jays tonight, 7:30. Right here on The Fan.
There you go. That's what I was getting at.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.